Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Age of Heroes, the Elysium Project. I am Hercules Invictus, and it's so great to be back on our CERN outpost. Now, my Olympian mission is to promote lifelong personal development, human empowerment, out-of-the-box thinking, creative self-expression, and a dedication of one's unique talent to community service. All of my labors in this lifetime celebrate the hero's journey in myth, legend, spirituality, popular culture, and in daily life. I firmly believe that the human spirit is essentially heroic and always seeking ways to express its innate nobility and greatness, and that a life fully lived, dedicated to actualizing the highest we can conceive, is the noblest expression of human existence. We're going to listen now to a song, Cry Freedom, by Bone Poets Orchestra.
old expanding universe. Trust that brain behind your eyes to carve a space for us within the universal mind. And if it's up to us to bring some balance back, let it not be said it's courage that we lack.
And welcome back to Age of Heroes, the Elysium Project. Today, I'm very proud to be speaking with Dr. Kak Young about her book, Crystal Power. Greetings and welcome, Kak. How are you?
I'm fine, Hercules. Thank you so much.
Well, it's great to be speaking with you again for a period of time. Our interactions are usually at the beginning and end of shows, so it's great to be able to speak with you for a whole hour.
Well, I feel the same way, and thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm very honored to be here. I love what you do. I tell you this every time, but I really have to say it again. I love what you do. I love your imprint in the world, and I love how you are trying to get the word out to everybody to live a higher life, and I just appreciate that, and I'm really happy to be associated with you. So thank you, Hercules.
You're very welcome, and thank you for all that you're doing. I'm a big fan of yours and your books, which are just one aspect of the things that you do, are phenomenally amazing. Crystal Power, 12 Essential Crystals for Health and Healing, is a misnomer. It's not just about crystals. It's about just about anything you could possibly imagine and how it all interconnects. And even though it's an enjoyable book to read, it's not the type of book you read. It's like a cookbook isn't a book you read. It's a book you experiment with and, play with the formulas and the recipes. And that's what type of book this is. Phenomenally amazing. What inspired you to do it this way?
Well, I wanted to share what I know. You know, I figure I've spent a lot of years being a rebel in a lot of different areas. And so that's just my nature. And when I get into a subject, I like to, unbox it, like those videos, just take it all apart and take a look at it and see what it means to me. So I am a voracious student. I love to learn, and I love to just keep learning new things, and somehow they all fit together. I mean, I guess you could call it whatever the mysterious plan is, but it's brought me into some areas that just seem to coincide. So if I'm studying psychology, for example, or I'm studying some kind of relationships or some kind of counseling, and then I find that there's energy and power in other things that can aid that course of study, then I bring them in. And that's what I found with crystals, is that I found that I could apply them, for example, to feng shui. I do feng shui people's homes, and I go to their offices or their homes, and I help them balance the energy. Well, I find, gee whiz, crystals have their own energy, and what if we brought certain crystals into certain baguas and certain guas, and what if that could enhance the energy that we want, and it could absorb or negate the energy that we don't want. So everything seems to fit together, and it doesn't seem to matter what part of the world or what belief system it came from. The golden thread or the core through all of these healing modalities seems to be one. It seems to be the matrix of unity, and that's just always amazing to me. So it's a very long-winded answer to tell you that I found so many different things that I enjoy and like and have come across and found that they are helpful not only to me on my path, but also in helping other people. So I combined them with crystals, and I combined them with essential oils, and I just created this stew that I think is very helpful to people. And I did a potpourri so that people can select what they want. You know, not everybody likes the same scent, so then not everybody is going to like the same path. But what we're attracted to, we should follow and find ways to connect them. So that's what I did here. I connected a lot of dots, and I have practiced. My clients are wonderfully open and willing to experiment over the years. And so I've included some case histories there to show how it really was effective when we worked with crystals in healing certain things that they wanted to fix in their lives. And then I looked at archetypes because I use those sometimes when I'm dealing with people. And it's sort of like if somebody comes to me and wants to fix something, whatever it is in their life, their relationship to money, their relationship to themselves, their relationship to their spouse, or they want a relationship, whatever they're looking for, I talk to them for a while and I try to find out what suits them. What are they into? And then I will make a couple of suggestions of blueprints that we can lay over their lifestyle and their problems. And then from there, we can maybe make some progress. Because you've got to speak their language. You've got to talk to somebody at the level that they're at, whether it's above you or, at your level, or even they're still learning. So I try to find something that suits them. And then that's what has led me into exploring all these different modalities. And I figured, you know, it's time to share that. I just don't have to keep that locked up in my toolbox. I can put it on paper. So I wrote the book as a gift, really.
Awesome. And thank you. It's a great gift. I found a lot of interesting things in there and the dots connected for me and the things that I'm working on in new and exciting ways. I was glad to see the archetypes. I was glad to see the goddesses. I was glad to the links to the essential oils and to astronomy, astrology, because I'm a big fan of your chart, your course. I practiced that as you had it for, I think, about 3 or 4 years, and I've had a chance to digest it and then apply it to what I was doing before, and it greatly enhanced and added phenomenal dimensions to my own walk through the zodiac. So I'm really looking forward to playing with a lot of the things in this book.
Well, it's good. Thanks, because I wrote them hopefully that people can, take the examples and use them for themselves too. Or they can, if you're a practitioner of some sort or a therapist, you can certainly use them on your clients as well. But it's out of the ordinary. What I looked at is I see a lot of people. So we'll take the chakras for a moment. They put the same colored stone that represents the chakra on that area, and they wave a couple of, silicon wands over them and say, there, okay, you're balanced. You know, Buzz, wrong bongo. That is not how you do it. If you're going to balance something, you've got to look at a scale. Look at the scale of the laws of justice, and you've got to weigh them in equal. Obviously, we all get out of balance in one of the seven chakras from time to time, or maybe all the time. I mean, when we're under stress, we can be completely out of balance. So it's taking the time to look at, okay, this area is out of balance. Well, what can help me? Well, you don't just, you know, slap that colored stone on and say, boom, 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 we're done. You take the time to weigh the issues and balance them, and you find out you've got to really get to know your body, mind, and spirit. This is the inner work we do so that we can say, okay, well, if I'm out of balance there, what do I need? Do I need more love? Do I need self-love? Do I need courage? Do I need insight? What am I lacking that I could help balance myself with? And then you go after that crystal. You say, okay, well, if I need, you know, it's like a menu in a restaurant. You know, what do I want, and then what do I pair that with? So it's pretty easy, I think. You can, and if you're really lacking in something, like you're really in fear over something, then I would pick a crystal. I'd pick an essential oil. And I would pair those up, and maybe I would select a goddess as well, and that's for men and women. It's the divine feminine that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Has nothing to do with, you know, male and female. So I would just load myself up with all those extra powers and meditate and chant and dance, whatever it is you do to connect with the other world. Do that and bring those energies in so that you can begin to really build up. You know, we build ourselves one brick at a time. So, and that's, you know, metaphorical, but we do, and whatever is going to help you on those stepping stones, do. Just add them all in. It's like it's a stew. We all are stew in the end. You know, we're all these components, and we're all in this big pot. So whatever we can do to add and integrate is what we want to go for.
Very, very true. And, you know, we're all in the process of becoming, and this is a great way to make your life an adventure of discovery. And you have all these tools that you can experiment with and combine, and you've provided people with a, you know, an excellent map on how you've used all these things in junction with one another and successfully. So this is, you know, fantastic. I have to ask, right now, I'm increasing my output of creativity. I've been published in anthologies mostly and in magazines, both e and in print. But I too, I want to share all these things. I've spent decades, you know, accumulating and playing with that have served me well at this particular point. And the creator you've equated with the creator archetype. You've equated with clear quartz, which I could see that right away because clear quartz is called Olympian ice in some systems, Christalos. It means
yes.
Solid ice. And but peppermint, I was surprised by that. I have kind of like a peppermint is not one of my favorite flavors. So I was wondering what you found with peppermint that made it so resonant with that.
Well, it wakes you up. It opens up, it opens up all the channels, and it's something that you use, for example, if you have a headache, which is a blockage. So if you are lacking in creativity or you need insight, peppermint will help you do that.
Hmm.
And if you don't want peppermint, then there's black pepper. Anything that can open that up, or maybe even a spearmint, something that is pungent. I find that there are other tools like that can help, like lemon, anything that goes wham, you know, and it opens your whole brain up. I think that's what you're looking for creativity.
Oh, that is awesome. I will definitely I'll definitely give peppermint spearmint another try. And I'm Greek, so pepper and lemon are very much a part of my existence. So I will focus more on them when I use them.
Great. And I think you'll find that will do the trick. And, you know, like I said, everybody's different. You know, some people don't like mint at all, so they're not going to respond to a peppermint. So let's get another hot but cool oil. You know, peppermint's both hot and cold, not like a hot oil like ginger. or nutmeg, for example. But you could certainly get, there are chili oils, that essence of chilies, not just the chili oil you put on your tacos, but there are, you know, oils of chili that also can wake up your brain, too. It has the capsaicin in it, I think it's called, yeah.
Okay, that, I can definitely, I experiment with peppers a lot, so that is something I will definitely do. What, because your background is in entertainment and in other activities, and you started taking the voyage of a healer. How far back does that voyage go? Because, you know, healer, I could see it floating over you in huge neon letters. In terms of the overall work that you do, what inspired that journey? What was the calling?
Well, that's really interesting. I started out in show business in the 70s, and mm-hmm. I worked for a lot of big companies and big names. I worked for Dick Clark for a while, and I was hired as a stage manager for the Cher series on CBS. And it was early morning. We were on our feet all day. We dealt with big music rock and roll stars all the time, and, of course, Cher. And it was kind of a baptism into egocentricity for me. But that's okay. You learn how to manage that. You know,
yes.
you learn how not to judge it, but just manage it. So one day, I was the second stage manager. And usually I was an associate director, but I took this job because it was fun. And I thought, well, let me learn this. You know, I'm a big believer in starting from the ground up. So I was working as a stage manager, and I came in one day, and I was talking to our head stage manager, and we were getting our assignments, who was going to handle whom and who's in what dressing room, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, he dropped dead in front of me.
Ooh.
And he was, yeah, he was like a thin, 55 years old. He was a former dancer. He was always kind of tapping, do-do-do, you know, dancing, very full of energy, and boom, dropped dead. So all of a sudden, I'm the head stage manager, and I've got no help and everything to run myself. And that day, we had Elton John on, and I think we had Michael Jackson, and we had, you know, a whole bunch of people. So I was like a cartoon character, zoom, 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 and trying to keep up with everything and everybody. And you know, I was terrified. That day, and I went home and I thought, okay, so if you're going to be in this industry and you want to be in this industry, and your friend Frank just dropped dead in front of you at the age of 55, do you want to do that, or do you want to learn how to balance yourself and not have your heart beating out of your chest every time there's a crisis? So I said, I'll take the latter. So we have this beautiful gift in show business called the hiatus, and that's when everybody stops down and goes on vacation, and the writers get to work, and then the principals, the, you know, the directors and the crew, we all either move on to another show or we take some time off. Depends on how you're hired, if you're hired on a recurring series or not. But a lot of people just take the 6 weeks off and then come back and work intensely. Usually the days are 14 to 16 hours a day when you're shooting. So I began to find metaphysical things that interested me. I would take a tarot class, or I would take I would look in the back pages of the books or the flyers, the Bodhi tree at the time, and I would end up in a class somewhere. I studied shamanism with a Huna teacher out of Hawaii, and I spent several years doing that on my hiatus things, and I learned how to work with energies, and I learned how to be integrated from the earth to the cosmos. I then studied crystals. I began to teach myself about Bach flowers and about essential oils. So every time I had a little time off, I would either take a class, I would take a trip. I made several trips to Hawaii to study with Serge Kahili King, and I would go around the world. I, you know, worked with some Aborigines in Australia. In Europe, I studied over there a couple of courses as well. So I took myself places and I immersed myself into what they believed. And I found some very, very generous teachers and people who really helped me do things. And then I had a couple of really interesting experiences. I think to really put me over the edge, I went to have a reading from a psychic in West Hollywood, and she lived in this amazing building that had a penthouse overlooking all the Los Angeles lights, and she was dressed in white, and the whole place was white. And she took me into a room, and she gave me this jasper elongated ball. It was like the shape of a lingam, of a big lingam, but it wasn't. It was a it was jasper. And so she said, you know, what do you see? And I said, well, it's moving. I see all of the atoms in here moving. I can feel its energy. And this is before I did, you know, a lot of work. And she looked at me, she said, you do? She said, well, what do you see? And I began reading the stone to her. So she said, well, my dear, you have a gift. I should be the one getting a reading by you. And so that was one of the first things. And then I took another class at a place called Every Woman's Village out in the valley in Los Angeles. And it was one of those things where we sort of practiced reading each other. Well, people would walk away from our session and say, oh, my God, that was exactly right. So the teacher turned to me and said, who are you? I said, I have no idea. I don't know. I just, you know, I'm just talking. So I began to see that there was that I had some connection, and perhaps it came together for me when I did a past life reading. We had a guest on the show once, and I was directing a talk show, and he said, oh, I'll give anybody past life readings, you know, after the show if you want. So I signed up. I thought, hey, this will be great. And I ended up speaking in Middle French, and I know. This is the one that probably blew my mind the most. And it's all recorded. You know, he was recording the whole thing, and I was speaking in some kind of Middle French. And he didn't know. He was trying to guide me visually through this, or, you know, in a state of hypnosis. And I was answering him in French. I guess I was listening in English and then speaking in French. But what we got later, I didn't speak. I speak a little French, but I don't speak Middle French. So we had someone, my old French teacher from college, I brought her in and I said, could we listen to this? Could you tell me what's going on? And what we got out were some key words, that I was apparently a healer in France, and I was escaping. I was running away from some pursuers, and I was running towards Calais. That's all we knew, through the forest and into Calais. And I got into a village, and apparently they knew me, and they hid me and all that. So my life was saved, but then I had a bunch of herbs with me, and I was treating some people with these things. That's what we found out on this tape later. But it was kind of a big mystery, and I think those three things kind of, I said to myself, well, good, okay, let me pay attention to this, because perhaps there's something from the past, perhaps there's just a connection. You know, and then I began to see show business and what I was doing as a real gift. I began to see actors as real channels of information and truth. We can all tell. The camera always reveals if someone is telling the truth or not. So it became easy for me to direct people and say, well, let's do that one more time, because I think you can really reach, I think you can reach a truth in there. And then they would do one more take, and we would have a beautiful thing. And it was just great. It was really fun to begin to use what I was learning in practical application in show business. So that's how it all started. And then I just kept doing shows and then doing something else and then taking off. And then people would ask me questions, and so – the first thing I did was get my PhD, my doctorate in clinical hypnotherapy, because it was something I could do in pieces and I could do at home, and then I could, mm-hmm. you know, take more time off and train with other people for the clinical part of it. And that's what really got me started, and I was able to help people stop habits. Mostly it was stop smoking or stop chewing their nails or sleep better. So it was always doing things that would help people have a better life.
Wow. Quite a beginning, and definitely understandable why you would take that route. Why did you leave entertainment?
Well, I haven't really left it 100%. Mostly, I wanted to ease out of entertainment and do more of the metaphysics, because it's, you know, as you get older, it's a younger person's industry. I can't work 14 hours a day at that pace anymore. I mean, I can, but, you know, it wouldn't be fun, and I would be exhausted, and, you know, it would threaten my health. So that's one of the reasons. And then it became really, really corporate. My last job was vice president of production and development for Universal Studios Hollywood. And it was a nice position. It was, and there was a lot of travel involved, and there was a lot of politics. But at this company, I had four different ownerships. I had Mitsubishi, I had Seagram's, I had Vivendi, and I had finally NBC. And after 4 years in four different companies, and each time a regime came in, you had to redefine yeah. yourself and redefend your fortress. You know, here's who I am, here's what I do. And then everybody wants to change everything upside down because yeah. everybody has a new idea. So I just got tired, and I could not go to one more meeting and meet one more new vice president from some other controlling company. It just became untenable. And some of them were polite and nice, and others were just really nasty. And I said, no, I'm not doing this, because I'll punch somebody in a meeting. I just know I will.
So you made a wise choice then.
I did.
Your spirituality is very deep also, and at one point, if I'm remembering correctly, you started a ministry, and I remember reading the web pages, and they're the most common sense structures and mission that I've ever encountered in that type of organization.
Well, yeah, that my partner Marlene Morris has Relevant Spirituality, and you know the beliefs come from religious science and the Centers for Spiritual Living and a book called The Science of Mind written by Ernest Holmes, and there are some wonderful metaphysicians in that organization. And you know, incredible. And even in Unity, I mean, there's all from the New Thought teachers in the early 1900s and late 1870s, amazing teachers and amazing thinkers. And I think that is really the future of the world if we all believe in those principles and that unity. And there's nothing different, really, from this organization than you go back to ancient Vedic religions. It's all about oneness and no difference and celebrating people for their uniqueness and, you know, everyone is free, all of that. So if we can practice those principles, that's what that's about. So, yeah, I mean, Marlene is active on Facebook Sundays and Wednesdays, and she gives lessons according to these principles, and they're great. They're very human, and she has a nice following, and I help her. I am her assistant. So we just do what we can, I think. We show up where we can, and my ministry is in my books. I'm certainly creating new things all the time. I help people one-to-one when I can, when we're not in a pandemic. And we just show up and try to be the best we can be and help the most people that knock on our door.
And you're succeeding admirably with that. The reason I'm asking you all these questions that are beyond the scope of your book is to show the listeners that there are vast dimensions to you beyond the generosity that you share through your books. That, you know, there's a lot there. You're very complex and well-rounded individual, and there is a lot to you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I certainly have lived a full life, and I just want to leave behind, I mean, I'm not leaving anytime soon, but, you know, I just want to have something behind that people can learn from. You know, I don't think it would be hard to live my life and to be exposed to the people I was exposed to in this day and age. It would be very hard to do that financially, you know, and have that time. So I was blessed with living in the 70s and 80s where things were a little easier. So I could go, you know, I could go behind the Iron Curtain if I needed to. And, you know, there was just a different world. So if I can share some of that knowledge, that's all I want to do. You know, you don't make money on books. It's not like having a bestseller. I'm sure that Mary Trump made some money on her book about her uncle, but for the most of us, if you make 50 cents a book, that's a big deal. So it isn't for the money. It's about legacy and sharing and wanting this information to continue on long after I am pushing up daisies.
And you're leaving behind a legacy that will keep on living and keep on helping people. And that is incredibly awesome. One of the ways I would describe your book to people who are curious for more is at the end of every magical text, whether they're new ones or old ones, there are tables of correspondence. And most people just skip those, you know, because it's just all, like a lot of information there. You've taken that, which is really, really important. I've spent years trying to decipher some things in tables of correspondence, and you've brought it to life, and you've made those connections beyond the charts that most authors offer. It makes a lot of sense, and it's engaging, and it draws somebody in, and it takes them from being somebody passive with this information to somebody being active with this information and applying it in their life and in the lives of other people.
Well, thank you. That is really what I hope to do. People who have been complimentary about, you know, a book or two of mine always say that I write clearly and I write easily. And that's what I figure. You know, if I can understand it, then I can speak it to someone else who isn't. I mean, I'm not particularly advanced in any of these areas, but I do research them and I do check out my facts and I make sure that everything is accurate. And what I know, I know. And so I share that. But it's not all kinds of fancy words. I'm not out to impress anyone. I'm about to just, you know, give them a glimpse into what I've learned.
And you succeeded that admirably as well. Now, I've noticed your books, you mentioned it too, they kind of connect. So if I were to draw like a diagram of your books, this would be like one of the books in the middle, like a hub book. And then the other books would be spokes books, you know, like spokes of a wheel. And before the pandemic, when I had monthly classes in New Jersey, your books were in our library as part of the practical library, because they're very easy to understand. They're well written, they're engaging, they're interesting, and they contain a lot of practical information. And you had said before that if there's a plan, visually, you know, or abstractly, your books do form kind of like a plan.
Oh, well, thank you. That's really interesting. I think it's about the elements that are important to us in our life. You know, I have books on relationships. I have books on discovering your spiritual genius that you have. I have a book on gold mind, you know, that your what's in your mind rules what's in your wallet. And I have books on, as you mentioned, charting your course, astrology, the Bach flowers, a couple of books on essential oils, a book on crystals and feng shui, which I love. It's at the core of my life. I think it's just a great balance. And certainly this, on the first day of Chinese New Year, we celebrate balance and we celebrate creating our own life. So many people don't think they have the power to create their own life. Well, 5,000 years ago, the Chinese said, yes, you do, and here's how you do it. So we live by, or I live by, those energies and those rules so that you can always have fresh energy coming through your life and just coursing through your veins. And you do that by what choices you make. And so I think that all of my books do relate, and they all fit in. When you look at feng shui, there's a thing called the Bagua map, and it has to do with career. It has to do with your knowledge and what you learn. It has to do with your family, your wealth and prosperity, your fame and your reputation, your relationships, your children, the helpful people in your life, and then that all revolves around the center. So those are kind of the aspects of the Bagua map that are real and true and have been for 5,000 years, certainly in Asia. And when I started to apply those areas to my life and look at them as individual squares, it was easier for me to work on a given area. I could work on something. So I've got a book about, you know, one is called Marriage and Family, Marriage and Relationships. And so I have a book on relationships. If you want one, here's how you can get one. And that course was taught to me by someone, and then I have perfected it over 25 years and passed it on. And there's been a lot of marriages and partnerships developed because they've read my book, they worked the process, and here they have that gua fixed now in their Bagua map of life. So it does all fall in together, and it does. We certainly have, you know, in Wealth and Prosperity, there's my book called Gold Mind.
Yeah.
And it's very helpful, I think, to a lot of people when you look at money as energy. Money has no power except what you give it. And it can be, you know, in some cultures, prosperity means having six cows, and in some areas, it means having $6 million. So it's all relative. But when we look at life as, with that sense of relativity, then it takes away my ability to judge anybody for what they believe in or what is important to them. My job now is to work with the energy that surrounds them. And if I don't like or resonate to their particular energy, then I will protect myself from it and not have to deal with it, unless, of course, I have to if I'm in a business situation. But again, it's temporary and it's all relative. So I think those guiding principles, I mean, every aspect of my life that was brought to my attention through feng shui, I've written a book or two about, because I think it's important to know.
And as I mentioned earlier, chart your course, that had a profound effect on my own personal practice. I had a lot of fun with cheese dome power. I think I experimented with that for 7 months. I had a lot of fun doing that. And then I integrated that into non-cheese dominess, to resonate more with who I am. But that was very exciting. And I loved your essential oils book, and I played with that for quite a while. So you provided me with a lot of interesting things to experiment with, the same way like an exercise book would, or a recipe book. So
well, thank you.
Thank
yeah,
you.
I mean, I I come from in the entertainment business, so if I can provide entertainment, that's good.
And in sharing what you know, you encourage people to find what they know, their inner knowing. And that's a great thing about your books as well. As you mentioned, under your spirituality, it's about everybody finding their uniqueness and their own unique way of doing things. So you're giving a lot of information, you're teaching people a lot of things, but you're not enslaving people's thoughts, you know, into a particular system that is the only system that works and nothing else works. You encourage experimentation. You encourage discovery. So I think very highly of you because of that.
Well, thank you. I think that that's what life's all about, is learning as much as we can in the time span that we have in this particular lifetime, and then doing whatever we can with it to pass it on. I mean, I love how the Eastern religions really attribute and go to their ancestors for help, for wisdom, for honor, and then they will become an ancestor at one point too. So it makes your life, it makes you responsible for your own life to have to leave something behind that's of worthwhile, you know? I don't want to leave a mess behind me. I want to leave things of value. So hopefully the books do that. Hopefully personal encounters do that. I just want to be the coolest ancestor that anybody can have.
Very worthy goal. And what's next for Kat Young? Because again, there's a lot of freshness and newness to you. There's that spirit, the rebel spirit, I guess, as you identified it. Where do you think you'll be going in the immediate future with your life work?
Well, I have three answers. One, my new book called Living the Fairy Life comes out on the 16th of February. So it's all about my encounters with fairies, and it's very fun. It tells you what they are, who they are, how to attract them, what to do with them, what not to do with them, and, you know, how to just enhance your life. So that's coming out, and I've just started writing my next book, which is all about magical trees. And then the third thing I'm doing, I'm thinking about starting a company that is that encourages the Fortune 500 corporations to have an arm, and if they already have it, great, but to create an arm that responds to human calamities in a very proactive way. So it's not like just, okay, we contribute to the Red Cross. It's like having an arm and an active group through your Facebook page or social media that can answer the call instantly in your area whenever there is a major calamity. Because I think we're going to face a lot of calamities, we're going to face a lot of disasters, and I would love us all to have the flexibility of response. And if I can get corporations to dedicate even a space in their mind to helping and responding instantly. I don't want everybody to be the fire department, but I want them to have things in places. There are, people need housing, people need water, people need food, and it shouldn't all have to come from the government. So whatever we can supply as companies, I want them to be able to respond on a dime to those things and help animals and people and shelter and whatever we can instantly when those calamities come up. And I think that's going to be the future of real pastoral care, if you will. I think that's how we enact our brotherhood. And I think that the corporations have money to spare, and they like to put it into channels, but I want them to be to do something different than just give, you know, money to Jerry's Kids, which I think is a good charity. But I want them to be able to be a little bit more proactive and active with their people and, you know, put their people to work boxing up food and taking it places. So that's going to be, I think, my
wow.
next big thing. Yeah.
That is awesome. That is incredibly awesome. And I will support you in any way I can. That is phenomenal.
Thank you. And I will call upon everybody because this is something, it's like I'm not in charge of this. I'm just going to form the nonprofit and, you know, give some words to it and get a logo, and I'll do that stuff. And then I'm going to form a national network where we all are activated to do this. And that is to go to the companies to get them, you know, it may take us a couple of years to accomplish this, but there's lots of levels to this, and I think I'll begin to brainstorm with people like you and people I know in all walks of life, and we'll see what we can't put together so that there is quicker action for people in need as we face the future.
Wow, that is incredible, CAC, and I'm on board 100%. Your books are coming out, are they being published by Llewellyn as well, your fairy and your tree book?
No, that is being published by Llewellyn published my crystal books and my essential oils book, and the fairy book and the tree book are published by Mango Publishing.
Okay, awesome. I don't think I've shared this with anybody, but I'll share it with you. I have decades worth of experiences with elementals and nature spirits and tree spirits and stone spirits and things like that. So I'm really looking forward to reading those books.
Well, and maybe I will have you on my Art of Healing show, and we'll talk about that because I need experiences. I need people's stories to put into this book, and I would love to have your thoughts because, you know, trees are magical places, and
Yes. We
need to, A, preserve them, and B, understand them, and C, work with them.
I'll share one experience now. There was a tree in Central Park. When I used to live in New York City, and when I was a teenager, I was a channel for a theosophical group. This was before theosophy and spiritualism had become like fully formed as one unit, when they were still kind of separate things, but there were a lot of groups that started to blend them together. So there was a tree, and I felt affinity with the tree, and I used to meditate near the tree, and, you know, the tree would take form, and I would interact with the tree. And then I grew up, I left New York City, and decades later, I went to Central Park, and I was walking, and I felt a sense of, like, you know, like a really weird, intense feeling, and I turned around, and I saw the tree, and then I remembered this tree. But this tree spotted me and alerted me that it was there and that it remembered, too. So
Yes. Oh, I love that.
Thanks. We're running out of time, and I'd like for you to share your contact information. And also, you mentioned some of the things that you're currently doing with clients. If you'd care to give an overview of what people can contact you for, that'd be great as well.
Well, sure. Most of my work is hands-on. You know, I can do some. I do have some clients that I work with on Zoom, but usually that's because we've met, we've had the energetic exchange and all of that. But I can do work that way. Most of my work is, like I said, in person, and usually, you know, my crystals or my oils or whatever modality we choose. But sure, I mean, you can contact me. My website is CAC Young, and that's spelled KAC, Kitchen Apple Charlie, kacyoung.com. And let's see, where else? Well, I have another website called healingartofessentialoils.com. I have all my information there. I have the quick guide to bachflowers.com, where you can learn about Bach flowers. And I have cheesedomepower.com. And I have the fengshuispecialist.com. But my big website, kakyoung.com, that has links, and it will take you to all the other sites, and it has all my books and that. And, of course, there's always the author's page on amazon.com.
Kak, thank you so very much. You're an awesome individual, and I'm blessed by knowing you. And I'm glad we had this chance to talk for longer than a few minutes. I wish you success with all your projects. And again, thank you so very much.
My pleasure. And I appreciate and honor you. And I thank you for the time and for allowing me to talk about my path with your audience. So happy Chinese New Year to everybody.
To you as well. Athena just wished me that too. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And thanks to everybody who's joined us from home, whether you're listening live or later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. We're going to close now with King of Dreams by Bran Kerdorian.
Scattered mind, dreamy pale.